friends, and welcome back to yet another episode of What Page Are You On? It me, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It me, Alice Slater.
But we are not alone today. We are joined by Nina Mingyar-Powles, author of Small Bodies of Water and previous fave of the pod, Tiny Moons. We're recording on Thursday the 5th of August, so yesterday, if you're listening, the day it goes out, which is the day that the book is released. Nina, we are so hashtag blessed to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you.
How are you feeling?
I feel so lucky. I feel really tired, but really exciting. It's weird though, to do a pandemic book launch.
Yes.
But also really nice. Really nice.
This is the world we're living in now.
Yeah.
And does it feel like it's been a long time coming, the launch of Small Bodies of Water?
Yeah, it does. I guess it's been two and a half years-ish since I kind of started working on it, so feels also weirdly like the book's kind of already been out there for a while, but it actually hasn't. That's just kind of an illusion because things happen quite slowly in publishing, and there's that weird thing of getting used to putting things out there that are quite like old and from a different time.
Yeah, totally. I can see that.
And was also kind of the life cycle of this book much longer than for Tiny Moons? I guess that would have been a shorter process.
Yeah, absolutely. And just and a longer timeline than like any kind of poetry publishing that I've been involved in before, which is very different and very low key compared to like actual book publishing, which is a new experience.
So just for our listeners at home, I'm gonna like nutshell Small Bodies of Water, if I may be so bold.
Please.
So this is Anina's debut full-length non-fiction title. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah,
I don't
want
to like overshadow Tiny Moons, which is obviously very beloved to us, but that's definitely like a much smaller work, whereas this is like a full-size novel and it full-size book rather. And it explores themes of, like, memory and swimming. It explores also food and language. So there's definitely some overlap with Tiny Moons. And it thinks about, like, identity as well and the ways in which swimming kind of... the ways in which water and swimming changes throughout our lives, depending on where we are and who we are and what access we have. It's such an incredible collection of essays. I really loved it.
Me too.
I just want to throw that down immediately.
That was an amazing nutshell description, by the way. I always really struggle. Like, people will ask me to really briefly, like, oh, what's your book about? And I'm like, I don't know. too many things.
The thing is, I feel like it's really reductive to describe Small Bodies of Water as a book about swimming, because it's really not. You know, like, that may be the backbone, but there's so much more, like, woven in. And I was really curious to know, like, obviously, so swimming and water, that is the backbone of the book. But what made you decide to focus on swimming specifically? And how did you decide what to include, like, beyond that scope?
Yeah, so I think actually I was thinking about this morning, and like how I came to writing more about swimming and about water. And I think I was really influenced by a chapter in Patricia Lockwood's book Pre-Steady, which is like about learning to swim, and I think kind of swimming in high school, which was a really, I love that book, but that chapter in particular I really loved, and that got me thinking about how I could write about swimming. But then it was only really when I heard about the Nan Shepherd Prize, which was a prize set up for underrepresented writers in nature writing a couple of years ago. And then I never really thought of myself as a nature writer. I don't necessarily read a lot of like nature books that you would find like on in the bookshop. Like, there's that table quite often with all the nature books. And I never really saw myself there, but I had been writing short essays, and they did keep coming back to the sea particularly. I was constantly writing about the sea. And also I was swimming a lot more regularly. Not long after I moved to London, I got to know the pond on Hampstead Heath. And so I started thinking about how I'm kind of swimming as a way of like coping about lots of things in my life. So, and I think the pieces started coming together. I had quite a few older pieces that I realized maybe could begin to form a cohesive whole, which I'd never really thought of before. And so that was really exciting, the idea that I could maybe... Oh, sorry, that's my doorbell.
That's okay. Please answer your doorbell. All good. Was it someone with treats for you?
Potentially, I don't know, that would be great.
I bet it is. I bet it's going to be a publication day treat for you.
Some flowers or some brownies. So we're talking about like older pieces that could fit into the keys of whole.
Yeah, exactly. I guess I pictured a book that was not necessarily going to have like a chronological narrative or a really clear theme, like a unified theme. It was always going to be quite scattered. And the books I was reading and the work I was kind of drafting at the time was letting me think about all these different scattered pieces of writing and bringing them together.
And how do you think poetry has affected your prose? Because yeah, your prose is so beautiful.
Thank you. So I think I'm quite often reading... or trying to read as much poetry as I can when I'm writing prose, and that really helps me. I think it helps me keep in touch with the way, the rhythm of the line and the way that words sound aloud. But ultimately, like, I think quite often when I'm working on a poetry project, it will end up being quite like I'm trying to write an essay, and then when I'm writing an essay, I'm almost all the time, it'll end up being like quite like a poem-like piece, which is shout out to my editors who put up with this and let me keep in kind of like experimental forms and structures, which I really love in nonfiction writing, like books that do weird things with structure or weird, yeah, just generally weird use of language and rhythm. And I think it helps me think of an essay as a kind of, it could have lots of different shapes and lots of different forms, like a poem. So that really helps. But it does mean that I find it really hard to write anything long, and I really struggle with the length. Yeah, it's really...
I love that, because I feel like specifically the essay, We Are All Dreaming of Swimming Pools, feels like one that you could be referencing there, which is like, little vignettes about different bodies of water, different swimming pools that you have memories of. And I just love it. I love that kind of writing, you know, like, especially with nonfiction. I love not spending too much time in each thing.
Well, that was one of the things I really liked about the kind of form of the essays. Because I think when you say kind of it's an essay collection, the understanding of that is that it will be kind of one kind of theme that is written kind of from beginning to end. And what I really liked about how things are presented in Small Bodies of Water is that it's that, but within that essay, it's really broken down into quite kind of small fragments. And I just think from a kind of a reader point of view, that makes it so kind of digestible. It means that your attention is always really like peaked, because it's kind of jumping around from idea to idea in a really manageable, coherent way. And I just think it's such a like nice way to present something. And I loved that.
That's amazing, because I was really unsure like about having short bits, but that's how I like to read as well, and that's how I like to write. So it really works for me to kind of jump around a bit. And I mean that's because I guess maybe because I write poetry and I like to write short things.
Well, we like to read short things, yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I think the other thing is that all of our brains are completely fried after, like, however long of being locked in our houses. Like, the attention economy vibe, you know? Like, something that's super short and bite-sized for me is just easier for me to get through. Which might sound super lazy, but whatever. It's something that keeps me going.
Yeah, and, like, I feel like that's not an uncommon vibe. Like, you know... there is a place for like extended essays, but this is like a nice little way of approaching essays slightly differently while giving you like a basis of knowing where you're at. Like, I know that this is about like a flower, I know that this is about like a place, I know like this is kind of what I'm expecting from this essay, and then within that I can kind of keep being stimulated by new stuff.
I also just love short books. and like novellas, like I think it's such a, maybe not underrated, I think more and more, they're becoming more and more popular, maybe, like novels are getting shorter, which I really love.
So I remember at some point in my history as a writer and as a student, I remember being told that if you had a novel that was shorter than like an arbitrary amount, I think it was like 65k, anything shorter than that, you just would not get it published, that you'd massively struggle to find someone who was interested in it. Yeah. But over the last few years, I feel like we are starting to see the novella and also like super short essay collections are starting to have a bit of a revival, which is exciting for me because I really like stuff that I can read in one go, like With a Little Pint or By the Pool, you know, something that you can just bite size. I'm really here for that.
Yes, maybe we'll do a little episode about that in the future. Wink, shall we do that? Wink, wink. Wink.
So something else that I really loved about Small Bodies of Water is that you explore swimming and like being in water as a teenager, as a child, and also as an adult. I'd love to like find out a little bit more about your relationship to your body and swimming and how that may have changed.
Yeah, because when I think of swimming and like my memories of swimming, it's so wrapped up in adolescence and especially like teenagehood, because I feel like, oh, I don't know if it's just me, but swimming was such a like exciting but fraught like moment when you're a teenager, because it's like kind of thrilling, but then, you know, the whole our discomfort with our bodies, and swimming lessons is also such a thing. And for me, like, I hated them. I really hated them, and I hated having to swim at school. So I have these really visceral memories of the awful like thing of kind of undressing and then afterwards like putting my school uniform back on, and all of that was so uncomfortable. But I think at the same time, swimming always managed to keep, it managed to stay as like an activity that made me feel really calm, I think, and a bit stronger than I ever would feel like on land in my body, because I'm not at all an any kind of sporty or athletic person, and never have been, and definitely wasn't like at that stage when I was learning how to swim. I don't know, some kind of switch maybe when I was in my late teens, I think, when I just kind of felt so much more comfortable underwater. And I think that's quite common. I mean, obviously not everyone, but it's just definitely a common thread that I've spoken to some other swimmers about, which is really lovely. And I'm interested in that feeling as well after swimming, when you feel like really exhilarated and tired, but strong and like quite happy with yourself and hungry as well, which I love. So I always connect it with eating as well. Like after you swim, like almost anything you eat will taste amazing. So yeah, I think, I don't know, what kind of swimming memories do you guys have that makes you think about the way that, you know, your relationship with swimming has changed?
So yeah, for me, I love this question. So for me, the first time that I really had like a game-changing moment with swimming and my body, it was in my like early 20s, and my friend Bhavna was leaving the country and was kind of, we had like a bucket list of things she wanted to do before she went home. And one of them was to go swimming in the mixed ponds. I don't know why we picked the mixed ponds and not the ladies' pond, but there you go. There was three of us. And,
to look at hot boy ass.
Almost certainly to do some pervert. But anyway, I didn't even have a swimming costume. Like, swimming, despite being something that I was always really good at as a kid and that I always loved, as an adult, it became firmly something that I did not do. I did not like to expose my body like that. So I just turned up in, like, whatever I was wearing. And I think Nisha did as well, but for different reasons. She just didn't want to swim. But once Bhavna got in the water, she was like making a big hoo-ha because it was really cold. I was like, fuck it, I want to get in as well. So I just like jumped in my shorts and t-shirt. And it was the most freeing experience because the water was completely opaque. And I felt very free. Like, I suddenly, as exposed as I might feel in a swimming costume, in the water, I didn't carry that like feeling of exposure with me. And it completely changed my life. Like, I didn't go back to a pond for years and years and years, but I did start swimming. And I'm really grateful for that.
I love this.
That's amazing. I love that maybe the mixed pond in particular as like a space where lots of like teenagers gather, young people gather, of like, I love the idea of it as being a heady, kind of joyful space.
Yeah, because that was what I found. So I, you know, have been with Alice a few times to the ladies' ponds. I've been on my own and with Alice Slater. And then there's a park near me that has a swimming lake that I went to a couple of weeks ago. And I found it was really different. Like, the vibe was really different. And I really, I like them both. But I feel like, you know, and obviously this is a great thing, but it does feel like the ladies' ponds in Hampstead is a very kind of hallowed space. Whereas the, yeah, the kind of this mixed pond that I went to in Beckenham Place Park was just really like diverse in terms of like age, in terms of like, you know, there was families, there was like all kind of ages, there was like teen groups of teen girls. And that was really nice. And that felt really kind of celebratory and like fun and special in like a very different way to the way that Hampstead Ladies Pond feels celebratory and special. Do you know what I mean? They're very like different, but like they bring something, you know, wonderful.
That's so nice.
Okay, and also, right, is it just me, or have you noticed that as there's been, like, an increase in newspaper coverage of wild swimming, like, think pieces in The Guardian and shit like that, but there is also this, like, rising kind of backlash, this kind of rising sort of sneery attitude towards wild swimming as being this, like, really wanky middle-class pastime?
Yeah, I've noticed that too, and that really interests me, because it is true, like, every couple of weeks there might be, like, a Guardian article about some new aspect of wild swimming, right? I mean, I guess there is this thing about, like, I'm sure I do it too, like, when you have a really nice, like, really cold swim, you do want to, like, tell people about it, and just be like, I've just been in this, like, this really cold, like, I don't know, 14, 15 degree pond. Because you feel really tough afterwards, so you do want to tell people. So I'm sure that's an aspect of it, and I'm probably guilty of that.
But then, yeah, I mean, I think that sharing our experiences is, like, a pretty joyful thing. And I don't really feel like sharing having a really bracing swim or swimming somewhere really beautiful or even just having a really satisfying swim in your local pool. You know, I don't want to live in a world where these things shouldn't be shared because they're seen as, like, what? Pretentious, showing off. I don't know, I feel like it's pretty, like, inspiring to have something as joyful as swimming in your day-to-day routine, and I like talking about it, I like sharing it.
Yeah, agree. Definitely agree. Your pictures also of your swims were incredible.
Oh, from the Wales day.
Yeah, that was nice.
So beautiful.
Thank you for your support.
That reminds me that I wanted to ask you, like, what would you say is one of your most incredible swim locations?
Oh, good question. Like, anywhere in the world?
Anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, so one place comes to mind, actually, where I kind of swam recently. So it is here in the UK. There's a spot in the Derwent River. So it's in Derbyshire, I think, kind of up north. Called the Slippery Stones, and it's basically like a plunge pool that forms like a shallow bit of the river, but there's like a little deep pool, and it's amazing. It's kind of surrounded by rocks, there's some little rock pools, and it's in I think it's in a national park in the Peak District, and it's so beautiful, and it's quite popular in the summer with teenagers, so it has that quite a vibe that maybe like hardcore wild swimmers will like shun because it's maybe not wild enough for them. But I love it so much because the first time I went, I think it was in a heat wave and there was like teenagers smoking and lounging on the banks, and my partner and I were like the old people at the swimming spot, which was quite funny. And it was so lovely and the water's so cold but so clear.
That feels quite safe. Incredible.
Yeah, it was really nice. It had the feeling as well of like being a spot that maybe for many generations has been this like popular summer spot for teenagers. Yeah, I really loved it, and it's quite accessible. You can get there by car and then it's a short walk. Yeah, so I think that's a standout, and I've been there a few times since in kind of colder weather as well, and that was really nice.
Oh, that does sound incredible. I love the idea. That is something that's really beautiful about natural swimming sports, is thinking about the fact that how long they've been there for, you know, like what other people have swum there, what they would have worn, what the vibe would have been.
So in terms of returning to the page, what are some other kind of books about water or swimming that you would recommend to us and our good friends listening at home?
Yeah, so I think a really important book to me that kind of set me off on my journey, so to speak, of writing about water would be Turning by Jessica J. Lee, which is a swimming memoir. But it's also about other things as well, particularly about loneliness and just, yeah, being a woman alone in the landscape, both in a city and in nature. So it's about Jessica, who goes, she kind of starts this project of swimming in a lake every week of the year at this time when she's living in Berlin. So it's also very much like a book about the city of Berlin and its history, but also about her and her relationships. And it's so beautiful and calming. And it's got this great structure, which is seasonal. And that actually really influenced me in writing Tiny Moons, which is also set by the seasons.
Yeah.
So I really love it. And there's lots of, she goes out with a hammer and breaks the ice. Like, that's the kind of swimmer Jessica is.
Oh my Lord.
I love her so much, but to that, I cannot relate. Yeah. But yeah, she's amazing. And then I was actually looking, I realized that there's another book that's really important, which is a slightly weird book, and it's called Swimming Studies by the Canadian author Leanne Shapton. Actually, both of these authors are Canadian.
Yeah,
and she is also like an illustrator. And this book is like kind of like a collage. It's got lots of her writing about, she used to be like a championship swimmer, like training for the Olympics or something. But what I love is that there's lots of photographs and drawings, and there's like drawings. She's drawn like maps of her, the swimming pools that she grew up around. And another great thing is that she writes about, kind of chronicles her life in swimsuits, which I loved so much.
Aww.
And made me think for the first time, like about, the really memorable, like, swimsuits that you have when you're young that you hate, and then like the first time you get one that you really like, and that kind of thing. I loved that so much.
Yeah, I really like that. I'm definitely going to check that one out.
Yeah, because Leanne Shapton's really kind of like interdisciplinary in terms of her work, and I feel like I would definitely be interested in that.
Yeah, I love how she includes like watercolor drawings. So cool.
We loved and talked about Tiny Moons a lot on this pod, did we not, Alice Slater?
Mm. We certainly have done. We love it.
Were you kind of like pleasantly surprised, or like by how much that popped off, or were you knew that it was gonna bang?
I was so surprised, and that was amazing. I think especially because that book, it sort of doesn't necessarily feel like to me it's gonna fit in anywhere. But because it's not a book about, it's kind of a travel book, some people might call it that, but it's also about food and about language, but for some reason, so many people have told me that they it made them hungry or made them happy or made them a little bit less lonely or whatever, and that is just that's so amazing, because it just started out like as a diary, basically me writing in my journal, and then it was like a little food blog, and then I love it so much, because especially the care that went into it with the Emma Press, who are amazing, and the drawings are like my favorite thing ever. Just amazing.
Yeah, it's so beautifully put together. I love the illustrations in it.
And it's just nice to read, you know, books by someone about things that are pleasurable, and finding the kind of interesting complexities around those. I'm here for the project of Nina Mingyao Powell's, as I perceive it.
Oh my God, amazing. Yeah, I think I only realized a bit later how much of that book really is, like you just said, about pleasure, and that really makes me so happy. Like, Because it wasn't necessarily such a pleasurable time that I was having, but I was definitely like seeking out that joy and that comfort. And so, yeah, the aim is really to make a comforting book, a comforting experience.
And that was definitely achieved. Do you think that, okay, so my last question before I have to pop off, what do you think you'll write next?
Yeah, at the moment I feel like I'm in the space where I don't feel too much pressure to be making new things, which is quite nice for the moment because it's been such a weird year. So I'm just kind of doing as much reading as I can. But that said, I think I'd really like to write a bit more about food, actually, and also a bit more about art, which I do a little bit in Small Bodies of Water, like writing about visual art, and I'd like to do that a little more. But I have been asked a couple of times, like, can you write a novel next? And I'm like, no. I think I'm committed to maybe doing more, like, weird cross-genre interdisciplinary stuff that probably will not help like my publisher or anyone, but that's okay. That's fine. I'm just small little projects. I think that's where I will go next.
Oh, that sounds bloody gorge.
Agree.
Small little projects. Perfect.
Well, we look forward to reading them. Well, I guess if Alice has to pop off for her meeting, and you probably have treats you'd like to get involved with, Nina, as it is your publication day, we will leave you to it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Small Bodies of Water is published now from Canongate and literally will be available in all good bookshops. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
That's literally true.
Literally true.
So I hope we've made it sound like a book that you want to read. And yeah, Nina, thank you so much for coming. And I hope you enjoyed your little chat with us.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to talk to you because I feel like we've, you know, been reading your work for a while.
Aww.
And yeah, it's nice to, you know, put a voice to the words on the page, so to speak.
The real thing. The real
All right, cheers. See you next time.
Bye.
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 Bye.